today is found in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke. We have been speaking to you of how that Christ was brought before Pilate, and how that Pilate could not find Christ guilty of anything that the Jews accused him of. Several times he said, "I find no fault in this man." He was convinced that Christ was innocent, but he was afraid of the people. The people kept crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." As a judge and to do justice, he should have let Christ go. He should have given Christ his freedom. He should have placed a guard around him to protect him so that the Jews would not do anything to him, and he would have had a clean conscience. But he did not do this. This man, he had in his mind to please the Jews. And in this way, he was in a place that he didn't know what to do with Christ. I wonder how many of you are in that place. What shall I do with Christ? He had no need for Christ. He had no love for Christ. He had no pity or compassion on Christ either, although he tried to prove it so. But we find that after he had come to this conclusion, he went and he got a basin of water, and he came out to the multitude, and he washed his hands in the front of them. And he said unto them, "I am innocent of this blood. See ye to it." He was innocent of the blood of Christ, he said, but he was not. He tried to prove to the multitude by this act that he was clear of the blood of Christ. He tried to prove that his conscience and that inside in his heart he was against doing anything to Christ. And still, in protesting that he was innocent, he was guilty. For he allowed things to happen to Christ which he should have never allowed. This saying of Pilate was similar to the saying of the priest and the rulers. When Judas came with his repentance to them, they said to him, "What's that to us? See thou to it." And so Pilate tried to transfer the guilt of this innocent blood upon the people. He said in his act, "I am not guilty of this, and if you want to have something done to him, well, do what you want. If you want to have him crucified, that's up to you. It'll be your fault. You'll have the guilt of it, not me." So this is what he tried to prove to the people. But instead of proving it to the people, they seen that he was hesitating in his mind about having Christ crucified. And therefore, before he would come out and let him go free, the people said, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." These poor people, the Jewish people, they in this prayed that the guilt of the blood of Christ would be upon them and upon their children. What an awful prayer this was that these people spoke out before Pilate. And little did they ever think what an abyss of misery this prayer would bring upon them. God said amen to that prayer. And what an awful thing it is when we pray against ourselves and God says amen to it. And this prayer is still following these people. For from then on, judgment after judgment came down upon these Jewish people. For these people were making a great mistake. The Messiah had come unto them, and they rejected the Messiah. In rejecting the Messiah, this was their greatest sin. They did this at the time when they were observing the Passover. Later on, they were observing a Passover And Titus, the general of the Roman army, encircled the city of Jerusalem. He closed them up in the walls of Jerusalem. They were prisoners. These people, they prayed that the blood of Christ would come upon them and upon their children. When Titus took them prisoners, then, according to Josephus, they prayed to have Christ crucified. And they were crucified, so many of them, that there was not wood enough in Jerusalem to hang these Jews on the crosses that the Romans put up. They ran out of wood. How terrible the judgment of God came down upon these people for this prayer, his blood be upon us and upon our children. For these people, they bought Christ for 30 pieces of silver. This is the price that they paid Jews for Christ. And when Titus took them into captivity, these Jews, they were sold for any price, whatever anybody wanted to give. So many of them were sold as slaves. How then the judgment of God followed these people? From then on, even to this very day, they are feeling the consequences of rejecting the Messiah and praying this prayer. This prayer, my hearers, was answered for the Jews in wrath, in anger. Never did they think, never could they believe that such things would follow upon what they prayed for. This prayer, likewise, may, in a certain sense, be our prayer. Not that his blood may come upon us in wrath and in indignation, but that it may come upon us to cleanse us, to wash us, to make us whole. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And many of these Jews, they experienced this too. They were amongst the number of God's elect. And this curse was taken away, and the promise that he would be their God and would bless them was being fulfilled in those who experienced the blood of Christ for the cleansing of their immortal souls. Pilate tried to free himself from the guilt of this blood, but he did in no wise free himself. And we find after he had spoken this, according to one of the Gospels, he let Christ in this chapter, the 27th chapter, he left Christ, he commanded Christ that he should be scourged. If he had any pity, any compassion for Christ, or any love to him, he never would have gave a command to have him scourged. He talked out of one side of his mouth, and the other side of his mouth, he was a guilty creature. Innocence and guilt. His conscience proved to him that Christ was clear that he was an innocent person, and still by his acts, the acts of Pilate, he brought himself under the guilt of this blood. For we find in the first chapter of the book of the Acts that God placed this blood upon him, that he was the guilty person for it. And now after this, he had Christ scourged, which was a terrible punishment, much more terrible than the Jews inflicted upon their people. They had a law which prohibited any person that was scourged to be struck any more than 40 times, but this law did not exist with the Romans. They could scourge a person and hit him as many times as they felt like. Christ then was led away and was scourged. He then had his clothes taken off. He was bent over a post, and somebody with a whip whipped him on the back. Doesn't say how many times that he was beaten in this respect. How terrible that Christ had to suffer in this respect such a scourging, and that by the hands of the Romans. According to another gospel, after they had scourged him, they put a robe upon his body and a crown of thorns upon his head, and they led him out to Pilate, who brought him out to the people again. And he said, "Behold the man." He thought that he would work upon their pity, upon their compassion, where Christ, with this crown of thorns on his head and with his back wide open from these welts that he had received, oh, how he thought, surely they'll relent and they'll choose Christ to be made free too. But this did not take place. Christ could not be made free. Christ was here for this purpose. Christ came to pay for the sins of his people. But it was entirely wrong and criminal for this judge to let such proceedings go on with such an innocent person. This being scourged was an awful punishment for a person to undergo. But Christ bore this for the sins of his people, who deserved to be scourged by God and deserved to be whipped to all eternity for their sins. How wonderful that Jesus bore this type of suffering so that his people may not suffer eternally in hell. Jesus then was given over into the hands of this multitude. They had been crying for Barabbas, that he should be let go. And he left Barabbas go, and he let Jesus over to the will of the people. So this Barabbas, who was a murderer, and who likewise should have paid the penalty for the crime that he had committed, he was set free. In this we see the wonderful grace of God. If this man, Barabbas, had not been placed before Christ and been chosen by the people, he would have eventually been killed and slain for the crime that he had committed. But due to this, he was set free. My dear hearers, you and I deserve likewise to be cut off in our sins and to be damned to all eternity. We likewise are guilty in the sight of God. And now this shows the wonderful grace of God. Christ being taken prisoner, and this prisoner who was guilty was set free. Oh, when we see this, and we think of so many people who have committed so many sins and are such great sinners outwardly, oh, how encouraging this is to read something like this, that Barabbas went free. There is hope for the greatest of sinners in Christ Jesus. He is a compassionate and a merciful Savior. Even notorious criminals have found forgiveness by him. How encouraging for those who feel that they have sinned beyond grace, they think. Oh, this Jesus is able to fix such up. We have it here, this Barabbas going free in this respect. And after they had taken Christ into the hall, they began to mistreat him something awful. When you read this in this chapter, what they did to Christ, they stripped him, they put this robe on him, they crowned him with thorns, they put a reed in his right hand, and they bowed before him and mocked him and said, "Hail, thou King of the Jews." They took the reed out of his right hand and they smote him on the head with these thorns, pricking him in the head. How this must have caused the blood to flow out of his head. Well, what a sight this Jesus must have been. How could human beings do something like this? And these were the Roman soldiers. These weren't the Jews. But these were the Roman soldiers who Pilate had control over. He commanded him to be scourged, but then these soldiers, seems like the devil entered into them, and they began to do these things to Christ. Oh, my dear hearers,
when you think of that face before which angels veil their faces, being spit upon, being reviled, as the scripture teaches us, he was despised and rejected of men. In this respect, we find these soldiers doing this to him. What awful treatment Christ experienced in the back of this hall, before which he had been judged innocent. Then Christ likewise was given likewise his clothes back again. They clothed him with his own clothes, because the scripture had said that they would cast a lot for his clothes, and this was to be the portion of those that were to crucify him, that they would receive his clothes. And they put his clothes upon him, and they led him out to be crucified. And now when they led him out, they met a man coming from the country, and him they compelled to carry the cross of Christ, Simon the Cyrenian. He unwillingly was forced to carry this cross which Jesus had upon his back at the present time. Oh, every one of God's children are a cross bearer. They have crosses given to them in this life to keep them humble, to keep them low, so that they will not be lifted up in pride. We don't like the cross that we have, but it brings out many a prayer, many a sigh, many a cry. It brings us to him who can ease the burden of the cross, because he, likewise, in carrying this cross, the scripture says he stumbled, and therefore they were afraid that he never would get to the place where they were going to crucify him, and therefore they took the cross from off him and placed it upon this man, Simon the Cyrenian. And now when they led him out of the city, for Jesus was led out of the city to pay the penalty for the sins of his people, we find a great multitude followed him, a multitude of women mostly. Most of them, they were his admirers. Most of them, they had heard of his fame, of what he had done, that he was such an excellent man and such a good man. He had done so many good things. They followed him, scripture says. And because of this multitude followed too, there was a great multitude following him. And when they seen Christ in this way that he was, with the crown of thorns on his head, because we do not read that they took that off his head, and we see these people watching him and stumbling under the weight of the cross, why, if we have any humanity, even in reading it sometimes, it touches you to think that people could treat a man like he was in such a mean and a cruel way. It brings tears to your eyes to think that Christ had to go through such treatment. For what? Oh, this only brought home to us that we only may be given to see in the light of God's Spirit that it was our sins that he was suffering for. We are mostly blind for this. We are like these women that came out to follow him. When they seen him in this condition, their natural constitution was affected with it. They began to weep. They began to cry. And now Jesus, in the midst of all his suffering and what he was going through, he turned around and looked at these women. And he spoke to them, and he said unto them, "Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are coming when you will pray to the mountains that they may fall upon you, and you will pray that you wish you had no children. For those that have them will wish that they never had, and those that didn't have them, they will flee to the mountains, they will flee to the caves, because of what is going to come upon Jerusalem." He had himself, just before this time, stood outside of the city of Jerusalem And he had wept himself for what was going to come down upon this city. He knew what was in the future for these people. And now seeing these women following him and weeping, in the midst of all what he was going through himself, he spoke to them and said, "Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." Jesus, likewise, in this respect, rebuked them for weeping. You and I probably, if we'd have been in that multitude, we'd probably have been moved with tears. There are a lot of people that are moved with tears. I am quickly, as you all know. Not that they mean anything, but some people's emotions are affected quicker than another. Sometimes you might be speaking to a person about something, and you are under the impression of what you've been experienced, and tears might flow, and another one will have the tears too. Some are quick in this respect, others not. And these people, they were deeply affected with the suffering that Christ had undergone. And knowing him to be such an excellent man, this is what touched them. This is what made these women cry. And now to be rebuked for this, my dear hearers, how often when reading about this terrible experience that Christ went through for the saving of sinners, have you been touched? Have you ever been moved? Have ever tears rolled down your cheeks because of this experience that Christ had to go through? This is for the salvation of his people, for his church, and therefore he suffered in this way. And so these people, they were only weeping because they'd seen this. They were not weeping as they should have been weeping. And I'm sure me and you, we never wept that way the way we should either.